Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, good morning, depending on where you're joining us from. We want to welcome everybody to End Time Headlines. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. It is Monday night, August 19th. It is approximately around 7:04 p.m. Eastern. And I want to share a devotional word with you guys tonight that I believe is going to be a great word of encouragement. So if we can just wait for just a second to give everybody on here a chance to hop on to the broadcast. We want to welcome all of our Facebook Live audience. We want to welcome our YouTube audience, and we want to welcome our podcasters that will be joining us here on this broadcast. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is where I'm going to go. I was in my devotional time. I was reading this word. I was reading Luke 19, 1 through 9, and something leaped out at the pages about Zacchaeus that I want to share with you tonight that I believe is going to minister to somebody either in one of these three venues tonight, either on YouTube, Facebook, podcast, or maybe somebody will be ministered to on any one of these. So let me read this. I'm going to read this. This is Luke 19, 1 through 9. And then I'm just going to bring out some stuff that I feel like that the Lord revealed to me about this. It says, and then Jesus entered in, or then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a man of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, quote, he has gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said unto them, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, I pray that the word that comes forth tonight out of my lips would be anointed by your Spirit. I pray that they would be with authority. I pray that they would be with anointing. Lord, that they would be with persistence. Lord, that they would be with precise targeting, that it would pierce the hearts of the listeners, and that, Lord, it would minister to somebody tonight. Whoever may hear this word, whether it be live or by the rebroadcast of this, I pray that it would impact them, encourage them, exhort them, and edify them. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Here's the thing about Zacchaeus, guys, that really intrigued me. Number one, it says, by his own admission, he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So he was already not qualified for the religious group. Let me say that again. He was already disqualified from the religious people of his day because he was, one, he was a tax collector. Number two, he was a rich man. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, they looked down upon this individual because they didn't deem him worthy of salvation. They didn't deem him worthy to even waste your time on sharing the Torah with him or the words of the prophets. Because you got to remember, the New Testament was not yet written at that time. Jesus was not yet crucified and glorified. Okay? So as a result of this, this is why when Zacchaeus ended up doing something that that group of individuals deemed out of the ordinary, or he was crossing the line, this is why they became angry. Now, let's read on here. It says that he was a chief tax collector. He was rich. But there was something about this man that I love. You ready? He was seeking Jesus. I love this. So this, listen, I come by to tell somebody tonight. I don't know who may be watching this. I don't know but he may who be, may just drop in and listen to this podcast. But I am not intimidated by your status, by your ethnicity, the color of your skin, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're fat, whether you're skinny, whether you're middle class, upper class, low class, poverty, whether you're whether you've come out of drugs, whether you're bound in drugs, whether you're come out of alcoholism, or whether you're still a alcoholic that's struggling, whether you've been married or whether you've been divorced. None of this intimidates me, and none of it intimidates God. Here is what, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you bring to the table as your application, or what you bring as your resume, or what you bring as your qualifications. Because everything can be laid out into the natural, and to man, you can be disqualified from an encounter, come on, with God based on your current status, based on your skin color. I hate to even say that, but it's so true today. Based on your ethnicity, based on your classification, based on what party or affiliate that you are, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you're what denomination you're a part of, or whether you're poor, whether you're rich, what neighborhood you came out of. These things and these criteria may disqualify you from the church up town. It may disqualify you from being part of a denomination that you're seeking to be a part of, or being a part of a position in the church that you're desiring to be a part of. Maybe you won't even step foot in a church because they know your resume, and if they ever read your resume, you would be ashamed. But I come by to tell you tonight that it was not this man's resume. It was not the color of his skin. It wasn't not how tall he was or how short he was, his background, what neighborhood he came out of, his past. What got the attention of Jesus was this man's hunger. And come on, his persistence. He was persistent and he was hungry to have an encounter with God. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what you're going through, what you came out of, what your status is, what your occupation is, or you may be disqualified by everybody else. But as long as you are persistent, as long as you continue to ask and you continue to seek and you continue to knock and you continue to pursue, come on, the word of the Lord says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, your Bible says that he sought to see who Jesus was. No doubt word got out in all of Jericho. And it got back to this man, Zacchaeus. Word got to him. He came, when the people came into his office to file their taxes, conversations got sparked up and they said, have you heard of this Nazarene? Have you heard of this man named Yeshua that has come through town and he's flipping over tables? He's running off the religious. He's opening blind eyes. He's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. He's casting out devils. We've never seen anything like this, but there's rumors going around that this is the one in whom the prophets have foretold. And no doubt Zacchaeus, his interest was sparked. Come on, his hunger was sparked. His level of interest was rising because of the testimonies, because of the word of mouth that got along. Because perhaps even Zacchaeus, some of his clients may have came in that was once blind, but now they see. Perhaps some of the clients that came into his office to file their taxes was once lame, but now they're walking again. Maybe some of their family was involved that was demon possessed, or somehow, some way, these family members was impacted by the ministry of Jesus, and that seed was planted in Zacchaeus' heart, and it drove, come on, the curiosity, the desire, and the hunger of Zacchaeus to the point where the Bible says that he could not see Jesus because the crowds were so big. Now, I gotta ask you something. How many, listen, you know how many people are hungry for God, but they show up to a church, they show up for a conference, they show up for a revival, and because the crowds are too big, there's too many people in the parking lot, they couldn't get there in time, maybe they were stuck in traffic, they couldn't get on time, and they'll become discouraged, the devil will convince them that they missed it, the devil will tell them that they missed out, you might as well turn around and go back, you might as well go home, you've lost your chance, you've lost your opportunity. But Zacchaeus, even though the crowds were so large, he couldn't see. He couldn't see over the heads of everybody else. He couldn't see over the shoulders of everybody else. He didn't become discouraged, but he looked for an opportunity to, come on, to even press in. I come by to tell you tonight, I don't know what your circumstances are, but it could be discouraging you from pressing in, from pressing forward. Come on. Have you ever known? Listen, can I give you some advice that I've learned from experience? Every single time that some of the greatest encounters I've ever had with God were always at the other end of a great adversity that met me before I got to the great encounter with God. Let me explain. There would be a revival happening in town, and I would hear about it. So I would make the intent. I would call people, gather some friends together. We'd get some family members, and we'd make the intent to go and drive uptown, go to the country, go here, go there, go to the church, and go wherever the revival meeting is happening. And sure enough, that would be the night that some freak sickness happens to your kids. That's the night your kid gets his finger slammed in a door and literally almost breaks or fractures his finger and he has to go to the hospital. That's the night that you happen to get a flat tire. That's the night that you lose your keys. That's the night that you accidentally lose your wallet. You get pulled over by a police officer when everybody else was speeding and you were just keeping up with traffic, but he singled you out. Come on, somebody. That was the night that you got sick with something that you don't even understand. But it's like all this adversity and all this opposition came against you as you're on your way to your pursuit, as you're pressing in to get to the meeting, as you're pressing in to get where he is. Oh, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not necessarily a conference. It may not be a revival. It may not even be somewhere you got to drive. Maybe you woke up that morning and you made the intent to get into your prayer closet. You made the intent to start seeking God like never before and start fasting and seeking his face like never before. Again, you will see all this adversity. You'll see all this opposition happen. But you've got to decide whether you are going to allow your circumstances to hinder your pursuit and hinder your hunger, or are you going to be as Zacchaeus, who even though he observed his circumstances that was holding him back and preventing him from gazing upon Yeshua, upon Jesus Christ, instead he looked for an opportunity. And behold, he found a tree. There happened to be a tree. Come on. He looked for an opportunity. He found a tree and climbed up a tree. And then a man who was once below the shoulders of everybody else is now above the shoulders of everybody else. See? Oh, come on, somebody. Joseph was cast into a pit. He was betrayed. He was lied on and he was rejected and he was thrown into a pit, and he turned his pit into an opportunity to go from the pit to the palace, because Joseph didn't wait until he got out of the pit to start prophesying. He didn't wait until he got out of the pit to start using his gift. He didn't wait till he got out of the pit to start discerning and interpreting dreams. While he was in the prison cell, while he was behind the bars, he was prophesying. He was interpreting dreams. His gift was making room for him. He didn't become bitter. He became better, and he seized the opportunity, the what resources he had, and he took that as an advantage. And as a result of that, though he was once below, God exalted him to be above. He was in the pit, but he went to the palace. He was in the prison, but then he became a governor of all of Egypt. Here is Zacchaeus, who was not qualified by the religious crowd because he was a tax collector. He was rich. He had a reputation among the people for probably shortchanging people and ripping people off, because we know the IRS would never do that. But anyway, we know that he was of a short stature, but yet he didn't allow all these things to hold him back, but he used them as stepping stones. And watch this. As a result of this, he knew that Jesus was going to pass by, regardless of whether he stayed below or he got up, whether he stayed bitter or he stayed better. Golly, can I tell somebody? Listen, the only one that's going to miss out when Jesus passes by, because he's going to pass by. You may miss him, but he's going to pass by. He may come through your church and you may not feel him, but he's going to come through. He may be there knocking on the door, but just because you don't let him in don't mean he's not knocking at the door. He may come in the, come on, he may be there in the choir. He may be in there in the altar. He may be there in the praise team. He may be there in the message. And just because you don't respond or you don't show up or you don't raise your hands or you don't respond to the message doesn't mean that he ain't coming. Because the Bible says where there are two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Listen, the only one that's going to miss out is you. You got to get that. I've come. Listen, this is where I'm at. I refuse to miss an encounter because I'm looking and observing and focused on my circumstances. Well, God, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the hand I was dealt. You don't know what neighborhood I came out, my background. You don't understand how bad it is. Really? He don't? Come on, somebody. He does know where you're at. And again, Zacchaeus chose to seize the opportunity and not allow his circumstances to dictate who he was going to be. And allowed Jesus to pass him by, but instead he climbed up, he elevated himself, he went higher. And as a result, the Bible says that Jesus was passing by and stopped and looked up. I don't know about you, but I want to get to a place in my devotional. I want to get a place in my prayer. I want to get a place in my pursuit. I want to get into a place of my worship where I stop him and he stops and he looks towards me. Come on, just have him gaze at me and I've got his attention. Because if I can get, Zacchaeus knew, if I could get this man's attention, if I could get his attention, then I can see if the rumors are true. I can see if the testimonies are true. I've heard how good this man is. I've heard of the miracles. I've heard of the signs and wonders. I've heard of these miraculous things, but I've got to see for myself. Is there anybody out there that's tired of reading about revival? Tired of hearing about revival? Tired of about your friends and your relatives and your pastor and the people in your church telling you around the dinner table and telling you at church about the good old days, about how it was and how God used to do this and how God used to do that. Come on, is there anybody else that's tired of getting a third-party account of the move of God when you're ready to experience it firsthand? I believe the seed was planted, but it was watered, and Zacchaeus said, I may risk, I may lose my reputation, and I may lose it all, but I am going to see, come on, the face of the king. That sounds familiar. Oh, yes, that was the same mentality as Esther. Esther said, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But I am going to see the king. And Zacchaeus' persistence and his diligence captured the attention of the Messiah, and he stopped, my Lord, he stopped in his tracks. You know who else got Jesus to stop in his tracks? The woman with the issue of blood. She risked it all and pressed through the crowd bleeding, which could have got her stoned in that day. But she pursued and she made up her mind, if I know that if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Before she ever stepped out her door, before she ever pressed through the crowd, she had already made up her mind that I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and if I do, I'll be made whole. Zacchaeus already made up his mind. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to get his attention. I don't care how it's going to happen, what I'm going to do. Man, I just felt a check in my spirit right there when I said this. Somebody needs to look for the sycamore tree. I'm speaking to your spirit, man. I don't know your circumstances right now. I don't know what pit you're in. I don't know what despair you're in. I don't know what trial you're in. I don't know your conditions in or your atmosphere or your climate that you're in right now in this season. But in your pursuit, you've already made up your mind before your pursuit, but you're in the pursuit right now. But you can't find a way to get the attention of Jesus. My friend, look, keep your eyes open. Look for the sycamore tree. Now, I'm not talking about a literal tree here. Your sycamore tree could be a baker and a butler, Joseph. Your sycamore tree could be a whale in the middle of the ocean, Jonah. Your sycamore tree might be a lion, Samson. Your sycamore tree may be a rooster crowing, Peter. Balaam, your sycamore tree might be your donkey. But something is going to get the attention of Jesus, and if he can use a tree, he can use a whale, he can use some lions, he can use a rooster, he can use a donkey, he can use whatever he's going to use, but you've got to be walking with faith and walking in persistence and diligence. Now I want to show you the results of, he gets the attention of Yeshua, and here's the results of it. Jesus looks up at him, and he says, come down here. He says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to stay at your house. Oh, come on, somebody. Wait a minute. Jesus would never want to come to my house. Jesus would never. Now, brother, you're going too far. Jesus would never step in my house. He would never get into my mess. He would never get into my marriage. After all, it's a shambles. It's falling apart. He would never get into my. Does he not know what I've been diagnosed with and how bad this is? And they've given me a terminal report. He would never step into this situation. He would never step into my financial situation because there's no hope. The bankers have said it's over. You're going to have to file bankruptcy. You're going to throw in the towel. He could never step in my situation with my children. After all, I've screwed it up. I've lost them. They don't have any respect for me. This. Listen, Jesus said, come down, for today I'm coming to your house. Now, I want to ask you something. Suppose you get the attention of Jesus and you get the attention of the King. Are you willing to let him into your mess? Are you willing to let him into your home? Come on, into your marriage, into your business, into your mess, into your disaster. Because if he can get into where you're at, golly, come on, he's going to begin to repair. He's going to begin to restore. He's going to begin to reconcile. He's going to begin to resurrect. So watch this. Zacchaeus, the Bible says he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, but when they saw it, golly, but when they saw it, they complained saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. See, I love this because I hate to say this, but there is denominations out there. There's church folks out there. There's leaders out there. There's Christians out there. They don't understand this principle. They don't understand that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which is lost. And as a result of this, they already knew who Zacchaeus was. The whole town, it's not like they didn't know who he was. They knew his background. They knew his occupation. They knew his resume. They knew all this. And when Jesus dared step foot in his house, oh, it ruffled the feathers of the religious community. But friends, I'm going to tell you, I'm tired of hearing about revival. I'm tired of hearing about awakening. If we're going to see revival and we're going to see awakening, we've got to begin. We've got to get back to these principles and get the heart of Jesus and get the, come on, the mandate and the commission of Jesus and save that which is lost. And you say, well, are you saying we should go to bars and clubs and houses with all the debauchery and this and that? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, Jesus had a mandate and he had a purpose. It's not that Jesus was hanging out with Zacchaeus. They were not best friends. They were not best buds. They were not hanging out in Jericho. Come on, at the tavern inn and having some wine. And they were hanging out on the weekends and traveling around on the donkeys and having a good time and cruising. And they were just yoked together. No, 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 no. That's not what that means. It means that Jesus was willing to get his hands dirty and he was willing to step into the mess. Come on, to reconcile a man who needed a reconciliation. Jesus wasn't going there with the intent to get a best friend. He was going in there, come on, to set a man free from death, hell, and the grave. Watch this. I'm going to prove it to you. As the Lord was coming into his house, Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. Automatically, conviction hit this man. The Lord was already working on this man's heart. And he says, Lord, I'll give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You know what this speaks to me? Because listen, when I used to read about Smith Wigglesworth, this man was so full of the Holy Ghost that when he would step foot in a factory, he would step foot in restaurants, he would step foot in warehouses, he would step foot in wherever he went, there was such a presence of the glory of God on him that sinners would wail, weep, howl, and repent and cry out to God. And he wouldn't even open his mouth, but it was just the presence of the Lord that this man carried on him because he spent so much time in the presence of the Lord that it emanated out of him. Your Bible says that the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. The shadow. That means the glory of God was so emanating and coming out of him that it was seeping out of his pores that even his very shadow was anointed. So Jesus, all Jesus had to do was just step foot in his house. Come on. Anywhere the glory shows up and his presence shows up, one of the first indicators of it is repentance. This is how, one of the earmarks of a true move of God is when you begin to see men crying out in repentance. When you begin to see men wail and howl and weep and cry and begin to repent and they're running to the altars and they're throwing their cigarettes on the altar. They're throwing their alcohol on the altar. They're throwing their drugs on the altar. They're throwing pornography in their phones and they're weeping and they're repenting before the Lord. They're crying out to God. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is there and it's drawing men unto repentance. And this is exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. So watch this. Here is a man who stood on the outside hearing about God on the inside, but then one encounter with God transitioned him from the outside, and now he's on the inside, and the God he heard about coming on the inside is now coming on the inside of him. It's all over him, and it's drawing him into repentance. And the Bible says, listen to this, if you don't think this man gave his heart to the Lord, I can prove to you that Zacchaeus repented of his sins and got born again, because your Bible says in verse 9 of Luke 19, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Hallelujah. Come on, I could shout, scream, and holler. Come on, somebody needs to get excited. You say, well, why are you getting so excited about this? Because I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of Zacchaeuses out there. I was one of them. There were some religious folks who wouldn't give me the time of day. They didn't want me in their church because of the way I looked. Come on, because I smell like pot smoke. Because my eyes were bloodshot. Because I didn't look the part. Because I always wore a hat. And because I didn't dress the part. I didn't talk the part. Because my language didn't fit their part. I didn't fit the part, look the part, anything. But here's what happened. Like Zacchaeus, I got around some folks that had been with Jesus. And a little bit of that rubbed off on me. And I said, I'm curious. I've heard about this Jesus. I want to come firsthand. I want to get a closer look. And on June 2nd of 2000, I got in and got a closer look. And the presence of God showed up. And I ran to the altar. And just like Zacchaeus, I began to cry out in repentance. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And you know what? And I had to make a choice. Now, am I willing to let the Lord come into my house and begin to clean house? And the Lord come into my house and begin to, come on, He began to flip my tables. He began to transform me from the inside out. I'm going to tell you something. 3 months after an encounter with the Lord, I got around some friends that I used to hang out with, and they said, what is wrong with you? You are not the same person. You don't act the same. You don't look the same. You don't talk the same. And I said, because I've been with Jesus. Come on. I'm telling you, friends, we got to get to a point. I'm so hungry for revival. I'm hungry for awakening. I'm tired of church games. I want to get to a place where I have an encounter with God, where I don't have to sit there for an hour and tell you about how good Jesus is. All I got to do is spend so much time with Him that when I get around you, the presence of God just emanates out of me. That's where I want to be. And it begins to draw you into repentance, and you'll begin to say, what is wrong with me? What's happening to me? And then I can say, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. But listen, you've got to make a choice. Somebody's got to make a choice today. I don't know who the Zacchaeus is that I'm talking to today, but you can allow your circumstances to keep you from seeing the King, from experiencing the presence of God that can transform you and flip your life upside down for good. You can allow them circumstances to dictate that. Or you can begin to say, Lord, open my eyes and show me if I walk by faith and not by sight. To allow to see my circumstances and to know that You're working together all things for my good. For those who love You and are called according, and know that You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek You. In other words, I don't know how You're going to do it. I don't know how You're going to make a way. I don't know how You're going to make it happen. But I trust that if I just step out and pursue You, then You're going to show up somehow in some way and get Your attention. Now, so you can let your circumstances dictate your pursuit, or listen to me, or somebody else I'm talking to. You can allow a denomination, a religious organization, a church member, a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a teacher of the law. Somebody is convinced you that you're not qualified. The reason why you're not experiencing revival is because of your circumstances or your past. Friends, I'm telling you, these are all lies from Satan. And I showed you tonight that your persistence and your hunger is your pursuit for revival. Personal, I'm not talking about corporate revival here tonight. I'm talking about personal revival. I'm not talking about the crowds. I'm talking about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, I'm not worried about the crowds. I want Jesus. I want to be singled out. I want to get the attention of the Lord tonight. You got to get to a point where you say, my church don't want revival, but I do. My Bible study group don't want revival, but I do. My husband don't want revival, but I do. My wife don't want revival, but I do. My family don't want revival, but I do. My church friends don't want a move of God. They don't want the miraculous. They don't want the supernatural, but I do. Who am I talking to tonight? If that's you tonight, I want you to throw up your hands because I'm going to pray for you tonight. Before we pray tonight, because I don't want to break the flow of this. I do not want to break the flow of this. Before we pray tonight, come on, we're going to pray here. But endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, if you're listening by Facebook, or you're watching by YouTube, or you're listening by podcast, we want you to go and subscribe there and get these notifications, email subscriptions. If you wish to follow us, if you wish to support our ministry with a one-time gift or a monthly partnership, whatever the case would be, all that information there is on Facebook Live. You can click on the link. You guys on podcast, on YouTube, if you'll just hang on until after the prayer, there's going to be more information on how you can do that. But we appreciate your support and your giving and your prayers to this ministry. And again, our heart goes out to that, and we really appreciate you partnering with us because you allow this to make this happen. Okay, real quick before we pray, also this Saturday night, our monthly gathering in Corydon, Indiana at Cornerstone Church, Cornerstone Church there in Corydon, Indiana, with Pastor Tyson and Renee. We are going to be there this Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. So if you're anywhere in driving distance, again, we hope to see you guys out there. So come on, just lift your hands tonight. Father, I pray for everyone, one of these individuals on here tonight, those Zacchaeuses that are listening to this by podcast, YouTube, Facebook, or however they may be watching this, Lord, and they say, this is me tonight, brother. You've pierced my heart tonight. This is spoke to me tonight. This is spoken to me tonight, and I am hungry. I am desperate. I am in pursuit of revival and a move of God. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see the supernatural in my life. I want to see it, though none go with me. I choose to go, and I choose not to allow my circumstances to hold me back, but use them as a stepping stone. I choose to look for my sycamore tree that I can use to my advantage to get the attention of Jesus, to get the attention of Yeshua. If I've got to do it in a prayer closet, if I've got to cry out to him, if I've got to fast, if I've got to pray, if I've got to pursue, whatever it is, I'm going to get the attention of the Lord and change and transform my life and turn it upside down in Jesus' name. And Lord, I choose to not listen to the naysayers, the complainers, the grumblers, Lord, and all those, Lord, that are bound by a spirit of religion, and they do not want to move of God. They don't want revival. They don't want awakening. They don't want the miraculous. They don't want the supernatural. They just want church. They just want an organization or the mundane a cycle of religiosity. Lord, if that's them, then that's them, but that's not me. Lord, I ask that you'd separate me from them. Pull me apart. Lord, let me go above them like Zacchaeus. Elevate me higher than the crowds. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like normal Christians. I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't want to get by with as much as I can get by and see how much I can get by with and still make it into the kingdom. Lord, but I still believe in holiness. I still believe in righteousness. I still believe in sanctification. I still believe in the old rugged cross. I still believe in the blood of Jesus and sin and repentance and heaven and hell. Lord, I still believe in these things and hold to these things. And I believe without the restoration of these things, God, there'll be no revival. There'll be no restoration. There'll be no reconciliation. And there'll be no awakening. And Father, I pray that you'd honor this tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys, God bless you. I pray that some folks got touched tonight in this broadcast. Again, all this information, if you hang on here on podcast, on YouTube, we're going to give you that information again on Facebook. If you'll just click on the link, all that information's there for our main website, how to subscribe, how to get push notifications, and how to give and support this ministry. We love you guys. Listen, again, real quick, two quick announcements. Number one, again, I want to emphasize this Saturday night, we'll be at Cornerstone Church there in Corydon again for our monthly gathering. We're there once a month, every month, and this month it falls on this Saturday. This Saturday night at 6 p.m. Eastern there at Cornerstone Church in Corydon, Indiana. So we're going to be there ministering live. And then I want to say maybe Wednesday or Friday of this week, I'm going to start talking about Teshuvah. We're entering into the season. It's that time of year, if you can believe that already. It just seems like yesterday we were just talking about this. But we're going to start talking about Teshuvah, why that's important, why that's significant, and why I want you and your family to join us and participate in this, because this is a powerful season. Many pastors deem the month of August as the month of answered prayer. And we'll explain all this. And we may have to break this up and do a few messages on this, this week and then next week as well. So exciting times, guys. It's very trying times, but it's exciting times as well. So we may have a prophetic update, and we may throw in there as well. So we'll see just how the week goes. So God bless you. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.